Members, good morning, and good morning to the acting DG and the delegation, and to the Electoral Labor and Public Enterprise. Our members, some are sick, some are still in other meetings. Our agenda today stands as we're going to have presentation from the Department of Labor on the strategic plan for 2011-2014. And then our minutes. I don't think we'll be able to deal with the minutes today because, like I said, other members are hospitalized. This is that time of the year where, you know, the high blood sugar, you know, so can you close the door, Honorable Councilman? So our members are sick, and some, I think two are hospitalized. So I requested the DG to go straight to the point on his presentation and try to shorten it. Yeah, because if it's our last weekend, we're going to go to different meetings so that we close everywhere before we leave. I'm Priscilla Temba, as you know, the chairperson of the Select Committee on Labor and Public Enterprises. Members, I think that Mr. Honorable Groenewald representing Northwest, Honorable Jacobs representing the Free State, then Honorable Feltman from the
best one, Gauteng.
Yeah, I wanted to put it the other way around, but anyway, it's fine. DJ, can you please introduce your delegation?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. As Mr. Sikarsen, who's the Chief Information Officer acting, the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Becky Maduna, next to him, Mr. Shadrach Mkonto, Commissioner, Compensation Fund, Ms. Yanda Nawe, the DDG Inspection and Enforcement Services, and the Chief of Operations, Ms. Dudu Mutwani, and the Acting Deputy Director General, Labor Market Policy and Industrial Relations, Mr. Mkalipi, and the Acting Deputy Director General, Corporate Services, Advocate Pashi. The presentation, I would assume, Honorable Chairperson, members of the Select Committee on Labor and Public Enterprise, by now should have received a copy of the threat plan that the Department of Labor tabled on the 8th of March. And what we are doing in terms of this presentation is to summarize what is in this document and to give you a sense, firstly, in terms of the budget that was allocated to us, what is it that we are going to do with it, and secondly, how the things that we are going to do align with the bigger picture, that is the government-wide outcomes, and how the government-wide outcomes align with other aspects such as the Millennium Development Goals. This just gives you the areas that we operate in across all the provinces. And the next slide gives you a sense in terms of our point. A total of 125 labor centers with 24 satellite offices and 20 mobile centers. We operate also in 62 of the 170 or so TESOL centers. And with our mobile trucks, we are able to access a total of 440 visiting points, and we have a breakdown of those are located. If we had sufficient time, we would also at a later stage give you exactly where the labor centers, that is the visiting points, are with respect to each of the labor centers. But normally what happens is that the Durban office would service the two zone centers, including the visiting points that are within their province. Just on the mandate of the department, we administer those laws, which I, by now I'm sure are familiar with members of the select committee. And the vision of the department is to strive for a labor market which is conducive to investment, economic growth, and employment creation and decent work. Our mission, again, is something that you are familiar with. I won't go back to that. And I'm going to be presenting the strat plan and just to indicate the programs that form the core of the strat plan. We have four programs, mainly administration, inspection and enforcement, public employment services, and the public employment services also include the active labor market programs, such as the unemployment insurance fund and the compensation fund. Though these two are stand alone, and we have the labor market policy and labor market programs, which as from tomorrow, that is the first, that is as from the 1st of April, it will change to labor market, labor policy and industrial relations. And in the industrial relations, we also have a number of agencies such as NEDLAC, CCMA, that assist us in terms of either resolving industrial relations problems or dealing with labor market issues, social dialogue, etc. So those would then form part of Program 4. And our budget is structured in the same way. Now, the question may be, when the department formulates its key objectives and key result areas, we don't just do it on our own. There is a government guideline, and the government guideline is based on a process that the presidency led, and this process finally agreed on 12 outcomes. It doesn't matter whether you are police, correctional services, Department of Labor, Public Works, etc. The government came to an agreement that in the next 5 years, in terms of the medium-term expenditure framework, all of us are going to work towards achieving the 12 outcomes. So whatever we do must result in the 12 outcomes. And these 12 outcomes link with those who are familiar with the Millennium Development Goals. You will notice that they link with those. And what the president did was to organize us in clusters. So all the departments that contribute to improving the quality of basic education will be grouped together: social development, basic education, health, and so on, because all of them come together, either through immunization, feeding schemes, child grants, and all of them. They come together as a cluster or a delivery outcome to improve basic education. And this, we are clustered in all of them. Now, I highlighted the blue ones. The blue ones simply give you a sense in terms of where the Department of Labor is a participant. Sorry, it's green on the screen. It's blue on mine. There's a color problem. And I must apologize because the black and white copies just gives you a lighter gray color. But the
DJ on the black and white, there's no color code. If DJ just can indicate which numbers he will refer to, then we can just follow, please.
Okay. Number two, which is a long and healthy life for all South Africans, the Department of Labor is part of that delivery outcome because of our inspection and enforcement and the occupational health and safety aspect. Number four, which is decent employment through inclusive economic growth, we are core with departments such as trade and industry, economic development, finance, that is trade and industry, public works. We are core in that one. Number five, a skilled and capable workforce. We are part of that delivery outcome because of our employment services interventions. Number seven, vibrant, equitable, and sustainable rural communities with food security for all. We are part of that through our labor relations, labor policy and industrial relations, as we do determinations for farm workers, but we also participate in terms of inspection and enforcement as well. So we are part of the delivered outcome. Number 10, environmental assets and natural resources that are well protected and continually enhanced. We are part of the delivery outcome because of our occupational health and safety. Number 11, create a better South Africa and contribute to a better and safer Africa and the world. We are part of the delivery outcome because of our work within the SADC region, that is the Ministers of Employment and Social Security, the AU, African Union Labour and Social Affairs, and the ILO, because we are part of the International Labour Organization. So we are part of that one. And the last one, 12, an efficient, effective, and development-oriented public service and empowered and inclusive citizenship. This is a cross-cutting where all government departments are involved in, and this is because of our administration and the public service and public finance management. So all government departments have to report according to these 12 outcomes. What we then did as the department, we formulated our own key result areas based on our legislation, and these are familiar with you because we have always had this one based on our legislation, employment creation, equity in the labor market, protection of vulnerable workers, labor relations, social protection, sound labor relations, the capacity of labor market institutions, and so on. Now, what we then did was to match our key result areas against the government outcomes, and all the slides will show you how that is meshed, because it basically says if you do all these things as part of the department key result areas, you will be contributing towards this government outcome, and that is in line with the guideline provided by the presidency, and you can see up to outcome 12 how our key result areas are meshed. Now, if we then take program one administration, which their threat plan is covered in page 11 to 13 of this threat plan, in the main, they have sub-programs. The first one is this chief of operations, which contributes which has two indicators. The one is around improved service delivery access and quality, and the second one is to monitor access and monitor service delivery in all our provinces. And in the right-hand column, you will see the target that has been set. During the 11-12, the intention is to develop geographic norms and standards and to make sure that 90% of customer complaints are attended to within 14 days. Obviously, this is a minimum. We would want to strive to 100%, but we are putting a target of 90% minimum. communication is mainly to profile the initiatives of the department and to provide services to assist those initiatives. And in the right-hand column, they've got targets around the campaigns and the media coverage that they will make sure that the department is covered on. HR is mainly to ensure employment equity plan of the department is implemented, vacancy rate reduced, and maintaining some labor relations in the department. And we have targets on our right-hand column that we want to meet. And just to give you a sense, and I'll give you a breakdown, maybe I should skip this slide because then I can give you a detailed breakdown around the vacancies and so on. On the race and gender, we are currently at males 51, female 26. Percentages wise is 54 and 46. That is the goal that we want to achieve by the end of the financial year is 54 and 46, and the actual at the moment is still at 33. And you have a breakdown at a lower level. Obviously, if we can reach 50% plus one on females, that is something that we want to get to because of the demographics. The reality is that you have people in other employment in those areas, and that is the goal that we are working towards. In terms of people with disability, we are currently, our target is 5% across the board, that is male and female. And currently on male, we are having almost, it's just that the percentage-wise is 2% and almost 3% on female. And we hoping that by the end of the financial year, we will reach the 5% target, which is above the national norm, because the national norm is still at 2%, and the Department of Labor, we believe we have done well. And Honorable Chairperson, this excludes all the people that work in the sheltered employment factories, because if we were to bring in that 1,000 and 50 or so people that work in those factories, in terms of achieving targets of people with disability, the Department of Labor will not be comparable to all other departments, would have exceeded that target quite drastically. Just to give you a status in terms of our job, I mean our profiles, we have a total post that is 7,614. Filled at the moment is 6,941. In the process of being filled, that is where interviews have been conducted and security checks and all that are happening is 373. And the vacancies that existed where we have now embarked on advertising is 278. And the, you know, the respective percentages gives you a sense in terms of the vacancy rate on those that we are currently filling and those that we are that are completely vacant. If we take the CIO, in the main, they've got two key outputs, one being to ensure that information technology strategy is developed and implemented, and the Siemens PPP contract is effectively managed, and the targets are in the right-hand column. The Chief Financial Officer, two outputs. The first one is the Chief Information Officer. The Chief Financial Officer has an indicator on effective asset management and accurate and timely management of our financial information. And the targets are, again, that is deliverables are outlined in the right-hand column. If I can move to the next program, inspection and enforcement, which is outlined in pages 22 to 23 of the strat plan. Just to give you a sense of the staffing in terms of inspectors, and again a breakdown per province, we have a total of 990 across all the provinces. The vacancy rate amongst the inspectors is 105, and we have a breakdown per each province. There are no posts that are frozen, and obviously those that are to be those that are in a process of being filled and where interviews are in a process of being conducted is covered in the other slide. And the total number of inspectors is 1,095. In terms of their key indicators, the first one is to transform the labor market in order to achieve 80% compliance with employment equity legislation, and the targets are deliverables are again outlined in the right-hand column. The second indicator is to ensure decent work principles are adhered to, and you have sub-indicators, and in the right-hand column, you have the target 130,000 inspectors, and ensuring that at least 80% minimum complies up to the 15,000 police inspectors that they are targeting to conduct during the 11-12 financial year. And if we are to give you a sense in terms of the provincial office percentage split of inspectors targets, again, we looked at those inspectors inspections, or that is the total number of inspectors in the first column, and a breakdown according to each province. You have in the third column the, you know, a sense in terms of the total budget that is allocated to each of the provinces for inspections, and the total number of inspections that is the target that they are to conduct, and lastly the split. On occupational health and safety, the key indicator is to ensure that noise-induced hearing loss research study in iron and steel sector is conducted, and the deliverables are again outlined in the right-hand column. We also gave you a sense in terms of those sectors that we believe are accident prone that we are going to conduct, and again these are spread across the various provinces. In the iron and steel sector, we'll be targeting the Eastern Cape construction, Gauteng chemicals, Gauteng, KZN, and agriculture and forestry, Mpumalanga, and the Western Cape. And the reason why we will not be doing all those targeted inspections in all the provinces is because we use a national roving team that consists of members drawn from all provinces, and 20 audits per sector equal to 80 audits of high risk areas, and we're targeting those 10,000 workplaces. If we go to other indicators, they speak to reducing overexposure of workers to silica dust. We'll be conducting legislative review and promoting the level of knowledge and awareness on OHS to workers and employers, mainly in the agriculture. And again, the right-hand column gives you a sense in terms of the kind of deliverables or what we want to achieve and the areas that we will be visiting. On compliance monitoring and enforcement, we want to make sure that our inspectors are competent to implement and enforce the labor legislation. And in terms of deliverables, by the end of the year, we would have implemented and evaluated an HRD, that is our evaluation program in line with our human resources development strategy. And we'll also roll out the International Labor Training Organization module to all provinces and ensure that all our inspectors participate. IES strategy implemented, case management systems in place, and participation in ILO and NEDLAC structures on labor inspections are also further. Again, we have the deliverables in the right-hand column. If I can go to program 3, which is public employment services, and covered in page 29 and 30 of the stress flag. Program employment services will contribute to employment creation. The key performance indicator, firstly, is to ensure that the employment services regulations and guidelines are in place as we finalize the bill. The planning is effective and aligned to strategy, and that the programs are implemented, monitored, and advocacy campaigns are conducted at national and provincial levels, and you have deliverables on the right-hand column. On the registration and placement services, the key indicators are to ensure that job seekers are registered on the systems in different categories, and they are assessed and placed in the different opportunities that exist. And again, you have the deliverables. We're targeting 6,000 registered and 450,000 placed in either jobs, self-employment, training opportunities that we can refer to education, etc. On the employer services, in the main, the indicators are to register employers on the, that is, employer vacancies on the ESSA system, and to register employment agencies and to process applications that are referred to the department by Home Affairs with regard to migrant workers permits, and to assist companies that are in distress. And again, you have the deliverables in terms of the actual numbers that we target in the right-hand column. On the designated groups, special services, these are special services that we provide, especially to people with disability, women, and in the main. And we are targeting to ensure that through our employment services interventions and placement opportunities, at least 100,000 youth are placed and 50,000 women are placed in employment opportunities or referred to training interventions under the Department of Higher Education and Training, and the same applies to people with disabilities. The next slide gives you a sense in terms of the targets allocated per province. That we're aiming, that is the 600,000 that we aim to register. You can see a breakdown per province, which province is expected to register what numbers, which province is expected to that is, for instance, Eastern Cape will be expected to register 90,000, 45,000 job seekers are assessed, and 67,000 minimum are referred to communities and to register at least a minimum of 300 vacancies on the system and to place 15,000 youth, 7,500 women and 150 people with disabilities, and you can see the totals across. Sheltered employment factories, in the main, this year we hope to finalize the legal framework for service product factories to increase sales, to increase the number of people with disabilities and ex-combatants in the sheltered employment factories, and to provide funding to those organizations that also undertake or facilitate schemes that are in line with the sheltered employment factories, and to place some of the people in the sheltered employment factories in the mainstream economy, that is those that can be integrated. Our intention is not to keep them in the factories, but to integrate them. And again, you have targets in the right-hand column. Productivity SA, in the main, we aiming to ensure that the products and services of assisted companies are world-class and competitive, and that productivity and competitiveness awareness is high and embraced throughout the country, and to capacitate SMEs, and to save a number of jobs in distressed companies through turnaround strategies. And you have the deliverables on the right-hand column. The Unemployment Insurance Fund, again, Honorable Chairperson and members, the UI, Productivity SA, and the Compensation Fund have detailed strategic plan. What we have singled out or just highlighted are those core ones that we included in this threat plan so as to demonstrate their broader contribution towards the employment creation interventions. And this by no means does not provide a detailed indicators of the Unemployment Insurance Fund productivity and compensation fund. So the ones that we highlighted for the purposes of the stress plan was to increase the revenue inflows, to improve client services, to implement a fraud prevention strategy, and to educate and inform the public about the Unemployment Insurance Fund, and to make sure that the schemes aimed at alleviating the harmful effects of unemployment are funded. And on the right-hand column, you have the target and deliverables that we would be achieving, we want to achieve by the end of the year. Compensation Fund selected performance indicators is to ensure the development and implementation of rehabilitation and reintegration policy framework, to increase the number of compensation claims, and to improve turnaround time in dispute settlement, to increase assessment revenue, to increase number of registered employers, and to maximize investment returns. And the right-hand column gives you the percentages in terms of the deliverables. If I can go to Program 4, Labor Policy and Industrial Relations, covered on page 39 onwards of the threat plan. The sub-program, Employment Equity in the main, will have an indicator as Employment Equity Implementation and Enforcement Mechanisms Strengthened. And the deliverables in the third column is to finalize amendments to the Employment Equity Act, the regulations, and the Code of Good Practice, and its technical assistance guideline on key aspects relating to HIV and AIDS, and to make sure that we amend and implement those codes. On the employment standard, the main indicator is to manage the implementation of the basic conditions of the Employment Act, and again, the deliverables are outlined in the right-hand column. Employment standards is mainly to strengthen civil society, and here this is where we provide funding to organizations that assist us in either educating or promoting the protection of vulnerable workers. And this gives you a sense of the organizations and institutions that we are targeting to fund during the course of the financial year. The trailer is a trade union institution which is based in Gauteng and caters for both COSATU, NAPTU, and FEDUSA. COSATU and SAKOTU, there in the main, we allocate funding for the celebrations of the national day, such as May Day, because this falls within the scope of the Department of Labor, and this is an international day, and like all other departments, we budget in the main for this day because we believe that as part of the international community, we should also celebrate this day. And again, those are centers that we also fund. On international relations, the indicator is to mainly strengthen our participation in the ILO governing body, and the deliverables, again, are outlined in the third column. On labor relations, which is mainly our collective bargaining, the key indicators to manage the implementation of Labor Relations Act policies and practices to promote sound labor relations and tripartism, and the deliverables are outlined in the third column. The labor market information and statistics, in the main year, we aim to monitor the difference that we are making, that is the impact of our legislation in the broader community, and the deliverables is outlined in the third column, where we will collate and analyze information, and we will also measure statistics of industrial relations and so on. On the research policy and planning continued, which is part of monitoring the impact of our legislation, we will continue to implement the second research monitoring and evaluation agenda, and to develop the third research monitoring agenda, and to develop and submit labor market review reports for publication. And most of these reports and research that we conducted around strikes and all that are available in our offices, and honorable members can access those if you want to see the extent or the impact that our legislation is making. Obviously, other entities like the Stats SA, Labor Bulletin, and so on, also make use of that information. Honorable Chairperson and members, you will notice that at the end of each program in this document, there is a summary and a detailed breakdown of the budget, but I will give the CFO, the Chief Information Officer, an opportunity to present to you the budget of the Department of Labor. That is what we had last year, how we spend it, and what we tried to, what we submitted as a bid, and what we managed to get, and finally, how are we going to use what was allocated to us in the coming financial year, starting from the 1st of April. CFO.
Honourable Chair, honourable members, in terms of the financial information, what we have tried to present is that firstly is just to take the members through, because with the transfer of functions to DHET, our budget took a dip, and in some cases it is misinterpreted as the withholding from Treasury due to underspending. But the first slide here, I think I tried to put the spending pattern of the department, tracing it back from 2008 to 2009, where in the AMAWA, the original budget was 1.7 billion. And after the transfer, for 2008-2009, the budget was 1.6 billion, and the actual expenditure was 1.5, and which translated to 93.85% expenditure, and the unspent amount was 98 million, which translated to 6.15%. For 2009-10, the adjusted budget was 1.7 billion, and the actual expenditure was 1.69, which translated to 99.38%, and the underspending was only 10.5 million, which translated to 2.62%. The changes that took, well, the transfer that took place within our budget, the transfer to DHET of the functions. Prior to the transfer, our budget was 1.7 billion, but after the transfer, our budget was 1.6, which means that the 141 million was transferred to the presidency and DHET, presidency for the Umsobo Youth Fund, for the fund that was transferred there, and also the functions to DHET. That in total resulted into 141 transfer. And in 2009-10, our budget was projected to be at 2 billion, but after the transfer, it went back to 1.7 billion, and the amount of 381 was the one that was transferred. I think the reason why we have to go back to 2008-09 is to make the figures comparable. Otherwise, if you just look at 1 year, you might not get the correct picture. I'm going to go straight to slide number 59, where it talks about the bids. I think the next one. Oh, this one is the breakdown of the budget for the provinces to undertake their work in terms of the work plan. I'm not going to go through it in detail. And the slide that I'm going to talk to the bids that we have made to National Treasury for various projects for the department. We requested the bid for 2.6 million. Over and over, including our baseline of 1.8. The bids there, the first one was the governance and compliance, which is 33 million. To implement IES strategy, 396, and enhance public employment services, 180, and public entities, 210. But I think the next slide will indicate what we got from those bids, including our baseline, which indicates that all the bids that we have made to Treasury were not all funded. So that's to say that I think the public entities were looked at on a favorable light. The last slide that I'm going to just talk to is just the summary of the total amount that has been allocated to the department over the MGF period. Since I think DJ has indicated that for each program, on our strat plan, we have put the budget for each program at the end of each program strategy to indicate how much this is available for them to undertake, what they put on the strat plan. For 2010-11-12, our indicative allocation is 1.9 billion. For 2012-13 is 2 billion. And for 2013-14 is 2.2 billion. I think that concludes the presentation.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, for the opportunity. In detail, this present our overall strategic plan. And like we said, the amounts that we have here include in the main those of the CCMA, NEDLAC, Productivity SA, Sheltered Employment, all those entities, the funds that we have and their selected indicators are contained in this strat plan, except for the unemployment insurance fund and the compensation fund, who have their separate budget because they operate on the basis of a percentage that is derived from the funds collected in the course of performing their function or the contributory fees. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, DG, Acting DG. Members, we've been listening to the strategic plan of the Department of Labor. And also to remind you that we're still going to have the Department of Labor budget vote hearing on the 20th of April. So today, we've listened, and we're still going to have another engagement. And also to say, for this year's budget vote, labor is also on the list to be debated in the House. Over to you, members, if there are any questions for clarification and comments, Honorable Feldman.
Yes, thank you very much, Chair. Just like to thank the DG and the CFO for the presentation, but it is very, very unclear. I'm glad what you say. This is only the start. We need to go through this. It's a lot of information, and we can't do it in one day. I think, Chair, last year, close to the end of last year, we decided or discussed. We need a few days to sit with this department. I mean, for me, it is very, very unclear. I need to study this document. If we approved or give the go-ahead for this document, it means that I will be in the dark. So I will really, really recommend that we take this document, go back, arrange maybe before the vote another session with this department so we can draw up our questions and forward it to the department through the secretary and get answers, call them back, and we can discuss it. I mean, there's a big document. We talk about the year's work in one day. We can't accept it. Thank you, Chair. I suggest let's go through it. Recommendation, send it to the secretary. We can send it back to the department and call them. Thank you very much.
If you can be very clear also yourself, to say I'm not clear on 1, 2, 3.
No, I'm sorry,
can I finish talking?
I didn't finish yet, Ms. Michael's still on, Chair. On the whole document, I said. I mean, there are different bits that apply for governance, administration, you name it. It's a lot of things. Thank you, Chair.
I think we distributed this document yesterday, but let's hear from other members what is their feeling on this. The document was distributed yesterday, and for members to go through. So that if you come here, you say, if on page so and so, you could clarify us. I think that was going to assist a lot. Rather than, I'm still on the floor.
Okay.
Like I'm saying, you are in the mood this morning, I can see.
Yeah.
But but let's understand each other.
Yes, Chairman.
Because definitely if a document has been distributed a day before, if you mark on things that you really want to be cleared on, you do that. I can't believe the whole document is unclear. I really can't believe, and it's hard for me to believe that. Other members? Honorable Jacob?
Which one? Yeah. I think we normally say we've got problems in the manner these strategic plans that are presented to us. It's something that we are always saying to different departments. Because it seems as if we are starting from nowhere. Because normally we would like to know what happened last year so that we should compare with what you are going to do this year. Because I think what you are going to do this year is based on what happened last year. It's not something that comes out of the blue. But the answers that we always get, you are saying it's according to the prescripts of the treasury. That's why you are giving this kind of a presentation. But I think we need to have a way in which we can find the synergy between the two, because it becomes difficult. It's good you can present this, that you are going to this and this and this, but what happened last year? I think that's key that we want to know. The other issue that I wanted to get clarity, maybe so that I should be on par with you, this sheltered what factories, could I get an explanation of what is meant by that? But the key issue, the president say this year is the year of job creation. And I don't get it in this strategy, how you are going to try to create jobs, as the president has said, because so normally what we do, we take the cue from the state of the nation. But there is nothing out of this threat plan which indicates to us that this is how far we are going to try to create jobs. Thanks, Chief.
Acting DJ.
Okay.
I think usually, I don't know what happened this year. So, and usually, you are the department that comes to us and tell us exactly your challenges. I mean, your plan for 2010 was this and this. You achieved 1, 2, 3, and you didn't achieve 1, 2, 3, and now this is what you're going to do, and the challenges that you are facing. So this year, I'm actually not sure what happened. Because what we should be getting, I won't say the whole document is unclear, like the honorable member was saying unclear. The document has got that information, but the information that we need is, have you been able to implement what you planned for last year? So that when you start planning for this year, your strategic plan, then you know that those things are going to be your priority that you didn't achieve. And what are your challenges and how are you planning? You know, the whole document, actually, there is nowhere where it says challenges. We had these challenges and maybe your strategic plan, that document that you are having, but Loli saying, the secretary saying she wants to stop the document was... The, 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 No, I'm still talking. Are you like, are you doing the document? Lolly saying that the documents were not there in the stores. So I don't know whether who finished them, but that's the response that I got. But the members, I think what we're going to do now, for the few questions that has been put through to you, Acting DG, respond and go and do another, you know, document, so that when you come back, then we know exactly what was your plan, what did you achieve, what was the reason for not achieving what you didn't achieve, so that you are able actually to engage. Because you can't say, Mpumalanga, so many women are going to be trained. We must be able to know last, how many did you plan to train, and now you have trained 10 out of 20. Now you're going to carry on those people, you're going to carry on training them. So your document last year, I even congratulated you that you presented exactly the in the manner that the select committee on labor wants you to present. But this year, you have started doing what is done by every department to say, this is what we're going to do. You forgot about the past. That's not what we want in this committee. But when you respond, can you maybe explain where to me or to the committee? You're talking about the ILO, participation in the ILO. In the first place, we have this committee has never been part and parcel of the ILO conference. So if you talk to us about the ILO, we don't know what is happening there. We need information on that. And you say in preparation, who is involved in the preparation for ILO conference? Thanks.
Yeah, Chair. I don't know about the issue of bills that are before Parliament. There's no mention of it in the start plan. It is as if there are no bills at all. But there are labor law reforms that have been put in Parliament. But the other issue that I'd like to, because there is a budget here for public employment services. And I wonder what is in the bill for labor brokering, because I think if we are going to put this in place, it's something that is going to do away with labor brokering, because all the information and all things that has to be done by labor brokering would fall in this department. So I'm not so sure. Could I just get clarity, because this bill also, it is before Parliament. And now, what is it that you have? You've put it here. What happens? I'm not so sure of what is entailed in the bill of labor brokering, because I would think if we do away with labor brokering, this would replace the issue of labor brokers. Could I we just get clarity on that?
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know how many minutes you're going to give it to me, because I need few clarities. Thank you, Baba, from the department. But my worry is one, you spoke about the, in your presentation, the variables. I was triggered by my neighbor here. I didn't want to talk a lot of things today. But my concern is one, I'm trying to get this light. I don't know whether is it achievable or not, because there's somewhere where you spoke about sixth year on slide 44 in terms of deliverables. You spoke about 16 million people reached by 2012.
Why I'm raising that concern, do we have enough capacity in terms of the inspectors in order to reach that goal? Number two, I'm a little concerned about the whether do you have a system to be improved, maybe to pay your inspectors liquid better. How can I put it? How will the department prioritize funding for the inspectors to have the appropriate tools of trade? And then again, I wanted to find out that what are the plans and time frames for the Department of Labor and its entities to fill all funded posts as suggested by the State of Nation? And then again, the department has indicated that it will support the multi-pronged strategy to reduce youth unemployment through training and employment creation programs for at least 100,000 youth by March 2012. You know, with this one, there is something which is worrying me. Do you have a database on that in that regard in order to make sure that this youth, this is the target? Because it's easy to say youth, but from where? If you don't have a database for that. And another thing which came to my mind is that in terms of the database, the rider on the question which was raised by my colleagues, what strategy do you have in order to protect simple people from unscrupulous like labor brokers? Because they are taking an advantage, because there is a loophole from the side of the labor side. If they are not protected, that's a problem. And then again, there was a page somewhere where you spoke about labor movements which you are funding in order. Yes, please, with this one, I don't want to be misquoted, like maybe the saga of money and the like. But the really, really question is simple. What system do you have, or what methods do you have in order to assist COSATU to get other people from other race to come and participate in some of these nationalities? Because you are the ones who are supporting the bigots. You are funding. You can't fund an institution which doesn't draw the attention of all race or spectrum. Because we need rainbow power in our country. And here you spoke about the Tsela, Gauteng, and the like. Yes, that is good. But that is like number 49. And with that one, I will come back again with the issue of this, how to draw other people on board so that they participate in the national days, because in the national days, simple, a certain specific sector which is participating. Ma'am, I've got a lot of questions, but let me pause there because I don't know where to start. Yes, ma'am, you were right that we received the documents. It's up to us maybe to peruse and check what is supposed to be asked and the like. Because the more you present, the more you will get information, how must we ask you? Like the Madam Chair was correct that it is necessary to, for us to know that what have you achieved and what have you failed, so that you can assist to put more vigor or more power in the things which you were unable to do. But my concern is serious about, I wanted to last question. I don't know now, I wanted to find out, is your system able to speak or to talk to each another within the labor itself, and within your centers? Why I'm raising this concern? Some of the time when you reach the Department of Labor in your centers, people, when they are looking for the unemployment insurance fund, whatever, they are told the systems are down. We can't communicate with this and this. We can't communicate with this. If you can maybe elaborate to indicate whether your system are able to talk to each other within. I'll pause there.
And bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
To respond, DG, can you also maybe respond on why you said women for the female is going to be 46 and male 54. Can you just clarify why do you plan that you're still planning to have women in the lower, you know, have less women than men? Can you just clarify that point for me?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. I have colleagues with me, and we agree that I will do the presentation and I will deal with the difficult part. Ms. Advocate Pasha will deal with the HR-related questions. There were questions that are industrial relations related that I'll ask Mr. Mukalipi to deal with. And there are questions relating to inspection and enforcement, which I'll ask Ms. Ngawe to deal with. There is a question on ICT, which I'll ask Mr. Vikash to deal with. And maybe just to also pick on quite a few. Honorable Chairperson, I think we will have to assist the Secretariat, because when the strat plan was tabled in Parliament, we were made to believe that the distribution will go to all members, and I'm talking about the strat plan. And if honorable members did not get a copy, maybe we will sort that one out with the Secretariat so that honorable members can have this copy, because all departments, all of us, the deadline was the 9th of March, and we tabled ours on the 8th. And the strat plan has challenges, and it does have quite a number of things that honorable members have raised. Now, I must also say, Honorable Chairperson, that in developing the strategic plan, we are unfortunately having to stick to the guideline. But I think the guideline, in my view, is partly in the right direction, because what the Treasury and the Presidency, including all departments, have done was to draw a distinction between the annual report and the strategy. The annual report is a document that gives you a sense in terms of the progress against the previous year's strat plan. This is a strat plan for the year starting 1st of April going forward. And as we finalize the year, in fact, tomorrow in government is our last day of the year. And in the process, we start compiling and we give information to the auditors to do a full audit, and that is why we are able to then by August present the annual report. But what we do before we finalize our strat plan, we take our progress of the first three quarters, that is progress until the end of December. We look at what is it that we said we're going to achieve. And by end of December, which is the end of the third quarter, what is it that we have achieved in order to come up with the targets that are in the document. And those targets of the three quarters, those who are familiar with the big red book, the ENE, which the Minister of Finance tabled after his budget vote, if you honorable members go into that document, you will see our targets for that period. But I accept the point that maybe to simplify the process, maybe we should have done that, and we will look into that in the future, and maybe even if the document can be slightly longer than it is, because it will go beyond what is contained in this document, so that we are able to paint a bigger picture. But we will still, I hope, have an opportunity to present our achievement of the 2000 and, 10-11 financial year, which will be on the basis of a different document, which is the annual report. And just on the sheltered employment factories, these are factories that have been in existence since 1948. These factories were established at the time to cater mainly for soldiers and police and other government officials who got injured, who became disabled, mentally boarded, and so on. And as part of ensuring that they continue to get an income, 12 factories across the country were built, and these factories have in the main been producing furniture such as this, very good quality furniture. They produce textiles and linen for the hospitals, curtains, uniforms for police and a number of other departments. They also produce steel products, that is desks and fireplaces and so on. And those factories were inherited by the Department of Labor, and they continue to employ in the main people with disability who cannot be integrated in the mainstream of the labor market. Now, there are two provinces that do not have such factories. Obviously, some factories still have a racial complexion problem, some over the years as people retire and as new recruitments are made. We have worked with social workers to assist us in giving us people with disability who can use their hands and so on, and who can work in those factories. And even in the Eastern Cape, in the Western Cape, there is one factory where honorable members of the select committee, if they have time, you can visit those factories and see what products are being produced there. Just on the, I think the challenges and all that, we'll deal with them when it comes to the annual report of the department. Mr. Mkhalifi will cover the bills just to give members a sense in terms of where we are. I also want to deal with, maybe let me allow the different colleagues to respond to those questions. I have quite a number, and then any question that is not responded to, I'll come back to. Can I start with Advocate Pasha on the HR related one?
Thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. On the issue of time frames for filling the vacant funded posts, we are guided by the Department of Public Service Administration guidelines. In terms of the guidelines, the post must be filled within 6 months from the time it became vacant. That is the maximum period which one can take. But as a department, we are now targeting 3 months. That is, in a period of 3 months, we must have a vacant funded post filled within the period of at least 3 months. However, in the filling of the post, there are challenges. The challenges are first as the vetting. We have to go through the NIA, which of course is another process. And we have to go through the SAQA as well, which is the process of checking the qualifications. We go for the credit check. Those are the challenges that we face from day to day. However, our main target as a department is that we would like to have each and every vacant funded post filled within a period of 3 months, which of course in some cases it becomes possible when it's easy for you to get the necessary documents. You get the response, quick response from the NIA and from the SAP. And on the issue of women, in the Department of Labor, we do truly speaking, I do not have the correct figures, but we have more women in the department than men. It is only at the senior management level where we have more men than women. The women, as we are sitting today here, is 33%, and we are targeting 50% by 2016. That is what we are aiming for. And there was also a question of the youth. The youth at present in the department, we are sitting at 42%, and we are aiming to reach 50% by 2015. That is, we will get them from the pool of applications. The department normally, when you have to fill a post, the human resource division will give you a profile. What is the target today? Are we targeting a person with disability today to fill this particular post? Are you targeting a youth? Are you targeting a woman? That is how we achieve our targets. We are guided by the human resource management on those issues. Thanks.
I think also to assist my colleague, my understanding of the question from the chair, the chair was indirectly asking about the 50-50 policy of the Women's League and government. But I think the chair should understand that in the implementation of Employment Equity Act, you look on the economically active population. Now, although there might be more women in the society generally, but those that are economically active are lesser than men. Now, State South Africa published the statistics in terms of who are the economically active population. That's why the target of the department for women is 46%, is based on State South Africa statistics, and that is limited to those only who are economically active population. If we're looking at the society at large, then the 50-50 would come into play. That's the technical explanation to that target, Madam Chair.
Explaining it very nicely. I didn't talk about the 50-50. I wanted to get how you reach 46 and 54. So your explanation, I get your explanation, and I think other members also get. I didn't say anything about this. And maybe to say also, that 46, how are those women going to be placed? Because, for example, here now, we've got two women. So when you deal with that 46, make sure also that you balance on top. Yes. Not only have made, but I have confidence in my minister that she will make sure that you implement correctly. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I was just assisting in that area. My area that I was asked to respond on, it's two areas. First, the issue of the bill. There's the statement that we're not saying anything about the bills here. If you look on the presentation on the different program, for example, I'm going to use page 47. If you go to page 47 of this on the employment equity side, the legislation, it says there the input is employment equity implemented enforcement mechanism strengthened. Then it talks about the employment equity and regulation amended. And it talks about amendment to Employment Equity Act on the other side. It talks about, therefore, what we've done, we've taken the different acts that we're going to be amending and put them next to the areas that are around it. When we talk about the Employment Equity Act, we'll talk about the amendment of Employment Equity. If you go to basic condition of employment to employment standard, you'll see there there is talk about amending, conclude consultation process, the next page, on the process on amendment of the BCA. Therefore, I'm trying to say that in the strategy, the amendments of the laws are catered, but in the different areas that we in. But what we possibly we could say, just to give information to members, that as the members know, that the process now is at NEDLAC in terms of this. The last time we were here in the select committee, unfortunately the chair was not present in that meeting where we briefed the select committee on the Employment Equity Act. We indicated that the discussion now at the NEDLAC stage, and the next meeting of that process will be taking place on the 5th and the 7th of April, taking that process forward. I think that's the issue on the amendment themselves. On the issue of funding of organizations that we fund for May Day, there was a question that says, well, why are we not assisting labor to organize other racial groups into COSATU? The problem that we're having is that trade unions, in terms of the LRA and in terms of the Constitution, first, the Constitution guarantees the freedom of association. It means that workers should be able to decide what organization they want to join. It's going to be very difficult for government to ask people and indicate to them which organization that they need to join. That's the first thing. Therefore, we've got to respect the Constitution and the LRA in terms of freedom of association. Thirdly, in the funding that we're giving, we're not giving funding to COSATU only. We're funding COSATU, SEDUSA, and NACTU. And that's a grouping of, and it covers all the groupings basically in the country, because those are the major federations in the country that are operating in the country. So those are the two issues that I needed to explain.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. The first question that relates to inspection and enforcement services is to how do we prioritize tools, appropriate tools for inspectors in the department. I will refer in my response, Chairperson, I will refer to the presentation by the Chief Financial Officer in terms of the bid that we put through to National Treasury, where the bulk of what we requested from National Treasury was to address the question of tools of trade for our labor inspectors. One is vehicles, because they are field workers. Secondly, it's the cell phones and the laptops that they need to have when they're conducting their work. But unfortunately, we didn't get anything from what we've requested. We're only allocated about 60 million in the outer years of the NTEF, which is 2012-13 and 2013-14, to add numbers for inspectors. So that's the funding we got. But as we go through the year, we will ensure that we reprioritize in terms of also ensuring that we provide them with the necessary tools. We made an attempt last year where we bought about 60 vehicles, and it's a drop in the ocean if you look at the numbers of inspectors and also the number of labor centers where we have to allocate vehicles to labor inspectors. But also there is a policy in the department, the subsidized vehicle policy, where our inspectors are also eligible to apply for vehicles. On the issue of cell phones and laptops, again, Chairperson, we're providing our labor inspectors with cell phones. And in this, there is a proposed draft ICT policy, which also prioritizes labor inspectors in terms of issuing of cell phones. But our input in that policy, which we hope that what that will be finalized, is that our labor inspectors, when they get a contract for a cell phone, they get a package, which is a cell phone and a laptop, because those are part of their tools of trade. So that's what we're doing in terms of trying to provide appropriate tools for labor inspectors. around protection of vulnerable workers, the most vulnerable, the in our performance and the conducting of labor inspections in workplaces in this current year, we learned that we can't be all over. Hence, this year in our strategic plan, we're targeting specific sectors which we think that they are vulnerable workers, the most vulnerable, like the sector, the agriculture, which talks to farm workers. We're also targeting the private security industry, iron and steel. I think we've mentioned the various industries that we're targeting because we want us to focus our attention in those vulnerable sectors and which we consider high risk sectors. And that's I think those were my questions. Thank you, Chairperson.
Responding to the question around the systems and whether they integrate, and quite often they're done. Chairperson, we, in terms of availability, our systems are quite reliable, but in terms of integration, we do have systems that are still disparate. In terms of availability, also we have the common problems of that is experienced by all other government departments in terms of cable theft, power outages, the service provider network issues provided by the State Information Technology Agency, as well as our own service provider. To manage this, we have back-to-back service level agreements with the service provider, with the penalties that are involved when the service levels are not met. In terms of addressing the integration of systems, the department is looking at integration of all systems within the department, and is in the process of developing new systems as well. And some of these are for an integrated client database across the Department of Labor, the inspection and enforcement system, compensation fund system. The UIF currently has a very strong and robust system which is available to the department. The systems that are being developed are currently at a very advanced stage, and some of them are already being tested and within the next couple of months ready for deployment. So the short answer would be that we often do have systems that are down, but it's because of external factors affecting this. But we have processes and controls in place to manage this.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. And if I can respond to a question on how is the department going to contribute to jobs. Now, Honorable Members, if you go to, starting from page 37, you'll notice that the top of the slide talks to contribution to employment creation. And the issue here that we've always had, and I just wanted to share with Honorable Members something that came out of the government cluster discussions, including what came out of the business summit, in that when we talk about employment, there are a number of elements involved. Yes, it's true that you can talk about new jobs, but there are new jobs where you find that people become entrepreneurs and they're self-employed. There are jobs that are short-term, like public works. There are jobs where people get employed by somebody and they work for a big company and they are registered. And there are those areas where people get an opportunity to learn in order to further enhance their jobs. And I think everybody also agrees that interventions, whilst we are talking about creation of new jobs, the element of saving existing jobs is on its own an intervention that is very important around employment creation as well. If you take activities such as the CCMA and so on, in a way, in terms of preventing strikes, in terms of making sure that there is industrial peace, industrial relations, and so on. Everybody accepts that that intervention on its own has a direct contribution towards employment creation, because it is about saving jobs that exist. And the same goes with our industrial relations programs and the work that NEDLAC plays. At the summit, there was also an agreement that assisting the movement of people who may be underemployed is also quite important. You do find people, some with a lot of qualifications, but employed in jobs that do not satisfy them, who are looking for employment. And the example that Advocate Pasha was making is that in the filling of vacancies, because this is also very common in the public service, when you fill vacancies, in most cases you find that you fill it, you take somebody who was at a certain level, that person goes up, and then a new vacancy is opened at a particular level. So there is an acceptance that the assistance to underemployed to move in is also an important part of employment aspect. And I think there are interventions, the active labor market interventions that we often mention around UI and compensation in an environment where people lose employment. They lose employment as a result of injury or dismissals, and in the process of looking for new employment, there are intervention measures where people get that money that they desperately need to survive. So I think within the government circles, there's a broader agreement that we should not look at just one component of employment creation. We must look at all these components, because you may create one job, and if you don't look at the other element, only to find that you are losing 15 jobs at the same time. And the one job that you create, if you don't put measures to save other jobs, doesn't make a difference. And I think what we have demonstrated in the Strat Plan was how the Department of Labor is going to contribute towards that employment creation and the numbers. There was a question around the ILO participation. Now, Honorable Chairperson, I think that issue, and I know that you don't want me to make examples using the other committees. The best and only way that we believe members of the select committee can also get an opportunity to visit the conference at the ILO, including participation in interventions that the local ILO office is making, is if these programs are in the select committee's program and you get the necessary approval from the speaker. In that way, we can then see how best to facilitate the participation of members of the committee, because we have managed to successfully do so with the Portfolio Committee on Labor.
Let me say myself, we're talking on the document about ILO. Some members doesn't know even ILO, what is the ILO conference. If maybe, if you have documents, if you can bring those documents, or maybe sometimes, you know, something, you say ILO, the International Labor Conference, you see, so that members understand ILO. We are in the process of also arranging that members of the select committee also be part and parcel of the delegation for ILO. So that being the delegation is not a problem. The problem is that information.
I think we can facilitate that with the secretariat, including the websites and all that, where members can get more information. There are tons and tons of information around the ILO, but we will look at how
around what is being proposed in the Employment Services Bill around labor brokers. Essentially, what the Employment Services Bill does is that it proposes the repeal of Section 198 of the Labor Relations Act, which deals with temporary employment agencies. It repeals that completely. And it then requires what is called temporary employment agencies to register as public employment agencies. And there is a detailed section that provides for what public employment agencies are all about. Basically, these agencies will only have the responsibility of gathering CVs, providing career advice, and placing people permanently into position. But they will not have the role of being an employer themselves. So technically, it does away with labor brokers. That is what the bill proposes. But if copies, Mr. Mkalipi did talk about the process that the bills have not been formally introduced in Parliament because of the NEDLAC process. But we can make those copies available so that members of the select committee can have a sense of what is contained in the proposed rules. And the strategy is to protect people from labor brokers. I think Ms. Ngawe and Mr. Mkalipi, including the presentation, that is especially starting from slide 48. Slide 48, the key result area at the top says protecting vulnerable workers. In the main, what it means is that we'll do all those interventions, and vulnerable workers are in different areas. There are those that fall within the labor brokers, but there are workers that fall within the different categories. There are civil engineering workers that are not registered. Taxi industry, it's a big industry, but workers who work in those industries, we still have a major problem around their minimum wages, around deductions. People die driving those taxis. They're not covered in terms of the road accident fund. I'm talking about drivers.
I think those were the things that maybe you should have had them in your presentation to tell us about that. We were not able to do 1, 2, 3. Now you are telling us that the taxi drivers, there are still some who are not registered. Those are the things actually that we wanted to hear. Like we were saying, your challenges, and what are you doing, what measures are you putting in place to now in the strategic plan to say for this coming period we're going to do 1, 2, 3. So I don't think we should go as far as that.
Now, I was just highlighting that because the slide is the slide number 48 is doing precisely that. Maybe it's the shortened version because it talks about introducing determination to protect all those workers within those sectors. And the following slide talks to what is it that we are going to do with respect to other vulnerable workers. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Yeah, thanks, Chair, from the explanation of the acting DG. The long and the short of it, he's saying they don't have a plan of creating jobs. The plan that they have, it is to retain the workers that are there. That is the explanation. So it means the department does not have any plan of job creation. I would understand if you are saying those agencies, if they do away with labor brokers, those agencies, when the agency should be established by the Department of Labor, so that that work that was done by the labor brokers could be done by the Department of Labor, and there would be employed people. So that would be job creation. But as they are saying, as I'm saying, their strategy is just to retain jobs. I don't see anything here which says we are creating jobs.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Allow me to comment first and then I'll come to the question.
Acting GG, the perpetual negative audit outcomes of the Department of Labor have created doubts about the department's ability to adequately deliver on key objectives. During the 2009/2010 financial year, the department received a qualified audit opinion based on the private public partnership IT assets.
That thing is giving us a problem, because now it means that you are declining. And again, to the presentation which we received earlier on from the above comment, maybe if you can clarify us on the slides 55 and 56 where you spoke about historical appropriation and spending,
there in terms of your changes to financial appropriation, may you please clarify us, because I'm a little bit concerned. Because here on your first slide on 2008 to 2009, prior to transfer it was 1.7 billion rand, and then transfer, finally, or what I can say, you after it was 1.6 billion, and then again in 2009 and 2010, if maybe you can clarify us, because this thing is raising a concern in which sense. It means that instead of increasing your budget, the budget it might be going down, because prior to transfer it was 2.09 billion, and then after it was 1.7 again. So to me, there's no change, there's no improvement, and that creates a question whereby you open a space of unused money or unspent fund, which is returned back to the authorities with the money which is allocated to you. May you please clarify that, what is happening? Because I've raised only on the issue of inspectors, and you have your own response in terms of responding that there are these challenges. While you are allocated funds, it's us who vote for those particular funds. But if they're unused, unutilized, what does it mean? Why should we increase your budget then? Why should we vote to support your budget being increased while you are unable to utilize it?
Mm-hmm.
May you please clarify us on that one?
Maybe just on the first question, can I refer honorable members to slide number, that is starting from slide number 38.
Sorry, ma'am, but through you, Chairperson, one thing. The slide which you spoke about, the issue of the tax industry, I can't remember which slide, I think it's 38, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. You see, to me it raises a concern in which sense. That is our worry about the laborers which cannot protect themselves. Because here, to me, you just identified that the taxi industry is having a challenge. But what programs do you have in order to make a follow-up to make sure that these people are protected? Yes, you did identify it as source of the challenge. But what do you have? And you had a target that by 2012, something like that. Because if you can recall, reconnect very well, I spoke about the connection of your system, which is, you must talk to each other, and the database. last time I spoke about the database, about the issue of the people of which are sick for job, which you can maybe assist. But with this one, with the tech industry, I should have, I mean, I was going to be very grateful if you indicated that there is this amount of taxi people who are suffering, who are waiting to be assisted. Our plans by 2012 were going to have this amount being reduced from this number. But now, as it is, it doesn't say anything. It's just blank and open, black and white.
Okay. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. Just on the first question and the last question, if I can refer members to slide number 38. Slide 38 talks precisely to the role that the employment services is going to play, the strategies in terms of placing not only youth but job seekers, and that is why we have targets. We do have a database, the employment services system, and honorable members can go to any of our labor centers where work seekers would register their qualifications, where they sit, and the learning that they have, and through the system, we are also able to assist with the matching. So the strategy is there because of the role that the labor brokers were playing. In the main, the Department of Labor will offer that service free of charge. The private placement agencies can also play this role, but the only thing is that they cannot charge a work seeker. They will charge an employer for the successful placement. So it does talk to youth. That is why maybe we didn't have a time to explain that. If you go to slide number 39, it talks to 2,000 companies registered vacancies on the ESSA. This is the Employment Services System of South Africa, which is one of the biggest databases that we have for placement of people. And I think it addresses the question of women, of youth, because we have those numbers in our database. And maybe the issue that I did not mention is the fact that one of the key interventions around employment creation is that facilitation and placement of people in employment, and that is a core function of the Department of Labor that the Public Employment Services is responsible for. I'll ask the CFO to just talk to the question of the finances and maybe the Chief Information Officer to briefly indicate to members what we are doing in terms of addressing some of the problems that we experienced with the Siemens, which is a partner that is providing IT services in the department. And maybe the CFO can also talk to the qualification, the issue that led us to achieve that qualification, and what is it that we are doing to make sure that we correct and we do not find ourselves in a situation that we were last year with respect to the IT asset.
Thanks, DG. Slide number 56. I think what I intended to present was the effect of the transfer of functions to our budget. Prescript requires that when the functions are transferred from one department to the other, they are transferred together with their resources. So if that happens, then our resources are no longer going to be the same. It's not because we didn't use the funds. We have to transfer assets to the Department of Higher Education and Training. We had to transfer people that were performing those functions in the department to the Department of Higher Education and Training. And together with the two, we have to recalculate how much money or how much budget was allocated to those resources, and together with the resources, transfer money as well. So what the slide 6.2 says is that prior to the announcement, our budget was 1.7 for 2008-09. For 2009-10, it was anticipated to be 2 billion. But because of the announcement, we had even to go back to 2008-09. The announcement was not made in 2008-09. It was made into 2009-10. But we have to go back and say, in the previous year, had the announcement been made in the previous year, what effect would there have been in that year? And then ring-fence that amount so that when you try to compare our budget over a period of time, even the prior year as well should give you that trend to say if that amount was transferred in the previous year, this would have been the effect. So this is what I'm seeking to clarify here, to say our funds were not decreased, but these are the amounts that were taken from the Department of Labor and allocated to two departments, one to the to the presidency for Umsobomvu, secondly to the higher education and training for the transfer of funds, which from my side I had to to ring fence the amount that is allocated to those resources that were transferred and adjust my budget accordingly. That's what the slide 6.2 clarify. Not that our budget went down. It's just that if you after this exercise, we can then calculate that over the years we have been receiving a constant increase from 1.6 billion to 1.7 billion for 2010-09-10, and even for 11-12 we'll see that trend as well. In terms of the qualification, prior to 2009, the qualification were on assets in general, both in terms of the IT assets and other assets that were managed by the department. The reason for distinguishing the two is because other assets are managed by the department. However, IT assets, when the PPP contract was concluded, all the IT assets that were owned by the department then were transferred to our PPP partner for management. And the department had no control over those assets. In terms of accounting, they were treated as an operating lease because they were brought about by the PPP partner to render the services to the department. However, during the course of the relationship, Treasury changed the way they look at this transaction, and they said, no, it's not going to be an operating asset, an operating lease in terms of accounting, but it's going to be a finance lease. If you treat assets in terms of accounting as a finance lease, that means you have to treat them as your own assets, which created a problem for the department because we didn't have capacity, we didn't have control over those assets. So the process of developing an acceptable asset register in terms of the district took long. As a result, in 2009-10, we didn't have a credible asset register that would probably be approved by the AG. Because one, we have to identify the location. We have to get the serial number of the asset. Unfortunately, our PPP partner didn't have this information handy to give it to us for us to prepare an acceptable asset register. We have completed the asset register. I have already given the AG our asset register, which is 95% complete at the beginning of March, for them to start auditing in terms of the prescript of accounting with all the requirement of an asset register and the serial numbers, because I have to source this information from our PPP partner. I don't have. The major element of this exercise was the value, because we are not buying this asset. These assets are being bought by our PPP partner. So I have to go back and request the information from them in terms of how much have they paid for each and every asset that is there in the Dole and that is in the Dole environment, which then probably process took a little bit longer than expected. DG for auditing. I'm planning that the situation at the end of the financial year will be totally different. Thanks.
Yes, ma'am. Going back to the acting DG, I was happy because since you raised the issue of the tax industry, while it's us who are concerned about it, the explanation which you gave, I don't think that is correct. Referring to page 38, where you spoke about the job seekers, and when you responded about in terms of the job seekers and issue of the labor brokers, I think that one is relevant to that one. But if you go to page 48, where specific you about the review, when you spoke about the review, at least six sectoral determinations, you spoke about taxes, and you link it, I mean, when you responded as if they are part of this, I don't think it's correct. But if you're saying it's correct, Madam Chair, what I'm going to request from him is that may he please provide us information that these are the plans. That some, for example, in the country, there are a lot of tax industries. That is the biggest industry which is not organized because we lack of systems within the government. Because if we had proper systems to monitor and to make the taxi owners to account, that was going to be better for this government in terms of tax collection. Therefore, I'll request him maybe to categorize it, maybe to send us information about the data they've got about the taxes which are reported. That how many taxes, I mean, taxi drivers which are not yet covered by this and this and this, I will be satisfied. So that you can empower us when we go to our constituencies to speak to these people that this and this must happen. Thank you, Chairperson.
I think that's why I said when the acting DG was trying to explain about the tax, I said don't go as far as that, because the information that we will request is going to be more than what you are saying, and it needs you to have time to compile as the request is being posed to you now. But if you can just go and get that information, because that's one of your key challenges. It's a key challenge that you are having on. You're talking about registered taxi drivers, but now there's more information that is actually being linked to that. You can, nine provinces, we've got lots of taxi drivers. I don't know, in one province there are a lot of these taxi drivers. But can we give you Kasiburu Varakidi Batkos? That information is needed. And like members, I told you at the beginning, I said, members will go, they've requested to go to other meetings. And now we are now few of us who are left here. But that we're still going to meet on the 20th. I'll request that when you come, that information must come, must be, have reached the members so that members can be ready for more questions to you.
If I may, Honorable Chairperson, because that request is not possible to meet. And maybe if we can just ask Mr. Mkalipi, because I think there's a serious misunderstanding on what a determination and our role is insofar as the protection of workers in those sectors, the civil taxi contracting and domestic workers. It's not about the information that you are requesting. And if I can just ask Mr. Mkalipi, just to talk briefly to members what a determination is. Because a determination is not about the information that members are requesting. It's something completely different.
Chair, I want to repeat, I'm not confused on the issue of suppression. The more the NTG tries to explain, the more it makes it difficult for me. And I said, there is no plan for job creation here. And the way he explains it, it does not indicate job creation. maybe let me try to assist him. If you would say all temporary employees, they have forced companies to make them permanent, I will be a little bit convinced that they have tried to make people have permanent jobs. But the way as you stipulated here, there is no plan for job creation. Maybe just to advise them, maybe next time when they come, they should come up with something which is tangible. But for now, I'm still not convinced.
Determination. But the DG is the one who raised the taxi issue. So is the acting DG who raised the taxi issue? It's not us. And then we said, if you are raising that, can we have that information? Am I wrong? The issue was raised by you, and you chose a very difficult industry, taxi. You said the taxi drivers, for instance, the taxi drivers are not registered. And I was happy to hear that actually the department is concerned. And now, because you're dealing with that, can we have that information? How are you going to deal with that when you come? The honorable member has said that. Maybe let me tell it in that. But let's get that information on taxi. Even if maybe it's difficult, you say, don't respond now. Now you're saying because we don't understand, it's like we don't understand determination. It's like we don't understand determination, but you are the one who opened that can. I don't think we need Mukaliki to explain. Just that, can you just go and sit down and get information on taxi and then bring it to us? It's not that we don't understand determination. Yes, we are politicians, but determination we do understand. Just that maybe you yourself, you forgot at DG to say to us, you chose Texas. You know, as we are sitting here, we are two committees, members of two committees. That's the chairperson of the Select Committee on Transport. That's why he's pressing. That issue of taxis is really we are having sleepless nights, especially himself, because even if we meet at night, they will call him. A taxi driver will say, "But I'm being victimized of raising that issue of being registered." So please, let's not prolong this discussion. Let's say the request has been said. You will see how you respond. Please. And even job creation. Just go and sit down in your department. I know, maybe for example, you say 450,000 people are going to be placed in jobs, but maybe 20,000 youth are going to be trained and be placed. That's how maybe we can understand it. You train, you place in different sectors. So let me say, members, let the department go and restructure, and when they come back, because we need this information. When I said at the podium and debate, and I must be able to say the facts of what is happening in the Department of Labor. So can we let the department go, and they'll come back with actually understandable issues and information. Determination, the person wakes you up and say, can you tell me what is determination? I'll be able to say, oh, determination, and then, but now, So we thank you really for the presentation and the responses, but the information, if possible, if it can reach us before you even come before the committee, we will be grateful. Honorable Jacob? Okay, really, the information that we didn't get, can you try and give us that information? It's like Nkalipu was saying, I'm talking about 50-50. I wasn't talking about 50-50. To me, 50-50, I don't talk about it here. I talk about women in decision-making positions also, because if you say 46, when you will count even a cleaner, then you say we've got so many women. A person who's doing filing, and then you add to that, you add to the females. You say in the department you've got so many females, but we want to hear what are you doing to make sure that women are part and parcel of the decision making. Because a cleaner won't make a decision, not saying that they pass, go and do 1, 2, 3. For example, your delegation today is also 2 women. That means 2 women are in the decision making. You see, so here I think somewhere there are 6. So if you would tell us that 46 women, say in decision making higher level, we've got so many percentages of women. And we're looking forward to, I don't say you must resign and put women in your position, but tell us what's going to happen. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned, members. Thank you. Enjoy.